As we were shared with this morning, Scripture states, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all the day long." This is a Psalm of David. He was known as a man after God's own heart. Some say that these words were written in the Old Testament, which is true. But some would feel that because it was written in the Old Testament, therefore it would not apply to us today. Would you believe that that is true? No, thank you. In the affirmative, God's words are always true, all the time, every time. And we should be guided in His truth, and we should have a heart that is open to His teaching. And who is your hope, as we see here? Who is your hope? And here, David acknowledges that it is God the Savior. And Lord willing, all of us, when we are asked that same question, the first thing that should come to our mind, wanting to jump out, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here we have, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." I'm sure all of us, when we were much younger, would think that we could get away with sneaking that cookie or taking something that really wasn't yours when you were younger. Well, Mom didn't find out. Dad didn't find out. But as time grew on and we matured, we all realized God always knew. God always knew. And again, He will remember all the good and all the evil. This is what the Lord says. "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." The reason why you want to look for the ancient paths, for more often than not, they worked. They got you from point A to point B. There is a novice walker on the Appalachian Trail, and that's a big trail from Maine down to, I think, Georgia. I'm not sure where, but it is long. It's called the Appalachian Trail. She had a partner walking with her. But the partner had to leave due to emergency. She decided to go on by herself. And she'd never been on this trail, mind you. But she decided to go on by herself. One day, she left the trail to heed the call of nature. She had inadvertently walked 2 miles away from the trail. She became misorientated and couldn't find her way back. She decided to stay in place and seek shelter under the trees, hoping someone would find her. A surveyor found what was left of her body after about 2 years. How did they know? She kept a diary for about 30 days before she passed away. How serious is it to stay on the course? Dead serious. She was on the good road. She was on the good way. And she was walking in it. But unfortunately, she strayed away. You probably all recognize this, right? You are aware. You all got a pretty good idea where you're at, right? All right. But where did you come from? We had a beginning from somewhere, right? Some of us from Texas. Anyone here from Washington State? No, but we all came from somewhere. And it was fairly easy to get here to Virginia, wasn't it? Yeah. There was not a lot of guessing as to which road to take. You trusted the GPS, probably, or the spousal unit, paper maps, word of mouth, but you believed whoever and whatever to be true and on course. And of course, we'd all hope that they were accurate when they gave you those directions, even the GPS. So we rely on somebody to get us to Virginia. That's the point I'm trying to make here, wherever you came from. Even West Virginia, some of us. But consider this. That is what Saudi Arabia looks in the middle of Saudi Arabia. The Israelites probably thought the desert was too vast. And we know that they had often complained, even though they had the best guidance available to them, the best guidance. Smoke by day, fire by night. But notice in this photo, there's no landmarks. No landmarks. No mountains, no ravines, no forests, nothing. Nothing. Not without God's grace. How about this? It was believed that the earth was flat at one time. It was believed that. And supposedly there may be some people that still believe that to this very day. Again, notice, no landmarks or any other features to help guide you. Nothing. This is what you may see sometimes at night. Yeah, it's a vastness, yeah. But the point is, this picture doesn't do it justice. It doesn't do it justice. I'm sure you all had the privilege or the opportunity to look up at the night sky where it's clear, no haze, and the stars somehow look brighter than usual. Just gorgeous. Again, this picture doesn't do it any justice. But we've seen some pretty intense night skies. But how many stars do you see? How wide is this expanse that you're looking across there? Just if you're looking out your backyard or front yard, just looking up, consider the expanse that your eyes can physically see from left to right, up and down. You got to admit, that's huge. Huge. The wise men used the stars in the east to navigate to the King of Kings. How about that? And they brought gifts. You might have to admit that looking at this night sky is vast. But wait for it. Look at that. This is where we are, supposedly. The Milky Way. We're in the Milky Way. And supposedly that's where Earth is. This is something to help expand your mind, if you will. 100,000 light years wide. It has a thickness of approximately 1,000 light years in its spiral arms. A light year would travel 5.88 trillion miles. Would you wish your car could do that? Light travels at about 186,000 miles per second. Now, seeing this, just this glimpse, would you agree that our galaxy is vast? And you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, I know it's probably hard to read that. But if we spent 1 second per galaxy, it would take 634 years to see all the galaxies. See, all the galaxies Vera Rubin will capture in 10 years. Vera Rubin is an observatory. This is what it sees. It's a digital camera, huge digital camera. And it's expected to document 20 billion galaxies. 20 billion. But this is but a portion of the vastness of the heavens. Isaiah 40, verse 26, where it states, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Is your mind blown? Finding a lost sheep is easy for our Lord. Counting the hairs on your head, not so improbable. If he can, when he does that, you've heard this phrase before, and this is worth repeating. Our Savior has gone to prepare a place for you, for us. So where is the Lord? Up in the heavens, paradise. Wherever God is, that's heaven. Wherever he is. A journey to a friend's house is never far, no matter the mileage. How are we going to get there to our Lord, to God? Isn't it easier to follow someone who has been there before? Say, crossing the ocean, when they found out, oh, it isn't flat. How about that? But it would be beneficial to follow someone who's done it before. Crossing the ocean, crossing the desert, going to Alaska, going to heaven. The trip of an eternity, going to heaven. Even though we possibly could do it ourselves, to be the trailblazer, but isn't it prudent to follow someone who's done it before? An experienced guide to help keep us on the path. This is an unusual circumstance that happens with navigation when you're using an old type of magnetic compass. You're looking at the compass and it's pointing north because that's what you see. You see it's pointing north. That's what it's designed to do. It's pointing north. That's what you see. But in reality, that's what happens. It drifts. You think you're going the right way, which is the star. You're following that because that's where your compass is pointing. But in actuality, it's following the red side, the magnetic north. You're not going true north, you're going magnetic north because this compass is being pulled over. There's a lot of those anomalies on the Earth that they found out the hard way. That you're thinking you're going that way, but
magnetic pulled you off that way. It's called declination. It's a sloping or bending, a falling off, especially from prosperity or vigor, a decline, a deviation from a specific direction or standard. Sin is much like that, taking us off course. Kind of like Paul before he learned the error of his ways living as Saul. Even though he was very enthusiastic and on all accounts very sincere in serving God, as we know, Christ himself asked Saul, "Why do you persecute me?" So he learned the error of his ways. Excuse me. For us, we have the words of Christ in the Holy Scripture. And there's a reason why it's written in 2 Timothy 15. 2 Timothy 15. Do your very best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Here are some examples of a spiritual declination, a going off course, if you will. States, it's a reminder for us, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. And we have this rendering. He said to another man, "Follow me." This is our Christ, our Savior, telling someone to follow me. But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." These are the words from our very own Lord to those who wanted to follow him. You think he was cold and callous? You think he was disinterested? No. The one who paid the price should be the one to determine the cost. And so, when we talk about the seriousness of following our Lord, it's dead serious. Here's someone who is struggling to get to the finish line. This is a marathon. She's participating in a Dallas marathon. Do you spiritually feel like that at times? Exhausted. You're tired. The wind has gone out of your lungs. You don't feel your legs anymore. Or maybe you don't even feel your heart anymore. You have no more compassion. There's no more kindness. There's no more fire, if you will, in the furnace. But you know that the finish line is just up ahead. For us, a lot of us, it's closer than we think. You see, it's not so far. But you're so exhausted that you may not even realize that someone is helping you, running beside you, holding you, encouraging you, praying for you, lifting you up. They're there to help. And hopefully, you probably realize that after the fact, but there are those helping you to get there. And also, she made it. But I want you to notice, the finish line did not move closer to her. We move closer to it. That is our goal. You could pass out somewhere up and down the road or give up and stop or get distracted or put something else more important that you don't make the finish line. It's your choice. Always has been. Always will be. But the point is, you have to finish there to get up there. When we see this, maybe some of you are already thinking of the verse. We'll see. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have longed for this appearing. Give me.
She's at the end.
Who's waiting at the end of your spiritual race? Who's waiting? Christ? The apostles? The faith giants? Our loved ones? Our brothers and sisters?
Angelic hosts?
It will be a wonderful celebration to see all those who have been waiting. What a blessed day indeed. And let us all realize that we are all one day closer. One day closer. Now here's a sober reminder for everyone. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But this is the key statement from all this. Your decision always has been. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. How about that? John 14:6. Jesus answered. John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's our trailblazer. He knows how to get to heaven. That great big expanse I showed you earlier, he knows where God is. Wouldn't you want to follow him? Because he's the only one who knows how to get there. The only one. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. As we've been reminded, God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So as a reminder, we are all one day closer. This is the Lord's day. We are blessed to be able to learn from his word. Hopefully we'll heed his word, pray about his word, and understand its application to us, and the ramifications if we don't obey his word. Now, for those who have not become a member of the Lord's body, of course, we need to hear his word, believe his word, repent and confess, and then we can become baptized. And, of course, if anyone within the body needs prayers, that's what we're here for, the family, to pray for each other, to help each other get across that finish line, if you will. That's what we're here for. And, yes, we know that sometimes it can be exhausting, It can be very tiring, emotionally draining, but that's what we're here for as well, to pray for your well-being, for your encouragement, and for your edification. That's the lesson. Now we sing the song of encouragement.